This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We invite you to hit us up on the text line on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. We'll get to the dogs in just a minute. Talk about some other NCAA stuff, including some hoops. Coming up, though, in about 20 minutes, we're going to talk with our man, Mike Mayock, who works for the NFL Network. And NFL Network is going to provide exclusive live coverage of the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine. That's going to happen March 2nd through the 5th, starting each day at 9 a.m. Every year I say, oh, I'm not going to watch that, and then I find myself watching.
Well, I mean, I just think as a Falcon fan, like, you can do DVR it if you want. You know, there's hours and hours until eventually you see Rich Eisen run the 40. But, I mean, I'm thinking I want to see the lineman, the interior lineman. How does Isaiah Wynn match up? We've talked about some of the other names that are out there when you look at the same mock drafts that we've been looking at. There's a couple of guys, you know, from the Big Ten that might actually work. I'm always on Dimitrov's case for drafted guys in the Big Ten. There's a few we might want. So looking at all that, not to mention, Carl, defensive tackles. And how do they do? I guess what's the thing for that one, the three-cone drill?
That, yeah, it's the quickness. You know, we talk to Chuck Smith about this all the time. It's that 10-yard radius and how fast you are within that 10-yard radius. I mean, I'm not worried about big guys running a 40 time. It's nice.
If big guys running the 40, that means the play got blowed up and something's wrong.
I mean, that's nice, but, yeah, I'm more worried about the explosion off the ball. The hips and the explosion off the ball with the big guys. Either way, man, as far as the dogs, we've been talking about this. There's a bunch of dogs that are going to get an opportunity to be drafted in this upcoming draft. We said it to start the show today. And whether you buy into Mel Kiper Jr., he's got us taking Isaiah Wynn with the 26th overall pick. You know, and we hear this all the time from dog fans who go, well, I don't understand why they just don't pick dogs. I would love for the opportunity for teams to just exclusively pick guys that play for their state schools. But, Mike, that doesn't happen. You've got to go get the best guy that fits what you do. Sometimes it's a guy that played right in your backyard. Sometimes it's not.
You know, in the case of the Falcons having to go get Levitre, and then later on we had to go make the moves, and then look what happened last year with Schweitzer. If you would notice David Andrews playing at Georgia, or if you'd notice Shaq Mason at Georgia Tech, I mean, there's two guys you could have scouted and not even have to charge for mileage.
Does Mason have two rings now? Is that right? I'm trying to think. Because he played with the Patriots, right, for
right.
1 year?
Right.
I know he went to the Super Bowl the year we went. I'm not sure if he was still on the squad, but my guess is I think he is. Either way, we're going to see a bunch of dogs with an opportunity to showcase their skills in the NFL. And I do want to see Isaiah when they've got him listed, I think it's 6'3", 308, somewhere around there.
Yeah, some got him, and we're going to find out. 301, we're going to see what it's all about. Because, and guys were texting us yesterday at 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line Carl just mentioned. I mean, what do you mean, like, a guy's not as tall? No, I mean, it's how it appears in the sports information directory. Like, if you get that, you know, the same handouts that the media gets that they put together, they might have a guy. Why do they list a guy as taller? Because it sounds cooler, I guess, Carl, right? Because, I mean, schools do in their own way try to help the stock of a guy to the next level. And some of that does come with a little bit of misdirection. If, in case of Drew Brees, was Drew Brees listed as 6'1 when he was at Purdue? I don't know. But these are the things. What's the one we always joke around about? The measurables, like the hands?
The hand size.
You know, I mean, like, as an Irishman, you know, I'm embarrassed by my hand size, but nothing you can do. But again, I'm not being asked to throw a football 60 yards.
Everybody's projecting the Browns to take a quarterback, the Giants to take a quarterback. Who are those guys? Is it Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Allen? Who knows? I think that the Colts, and we heard earlier from Andrew Luck, I think they go running back at 3, whether it's Saquon Barkley, who's considered to be the best back in this draft. And then you've got the Browns with the 4th pick. Browns are the 1st and 4th pick in this draft. They got to go defense there, right? And you go get a Minkah Fitzpatrick. You can put him in different places from Alabama. I think he's the best defensive back in this draft. And then, you know, where does Baker Mayfield end up? Buffalo, again, do you draft a quarterback? The Jets, do they go quarterback? My point is, all these projections help us. Because can guys that we might look at and want continue to slide in this draft?
Well, the thing is, and we've talked to guys that have gone through the combine, guys that have made it to the Falcons or other teams. Like, for instance, Lorenzo Carter. You know what they're going to ask? Same questions that Baker Mayfield's going to get is, you know, where were you your sophomore and junior year? You know, five-star stud. Where was the work? Was it a work ethic? Are you lazy? What, I mean, it sounds crazy. It's almost like they're trying to push a button on you. Chuck Smith talked about that with us. But those will be questions they'll ask Lorenzo Carter. Roquan Smith, I mean, I think you can do almost anything with him. You want to see him on the inside? You want to see him on the outside? He's got speed to burn. I think, if we didn't already have linebackers, Roquan Smith would be a perfect fit for us, but he's obviously not going to make it to where the Falcons pick.
No, and you know what? If I'm him, you know how I answer that question? Coach Smart came in and coached me up, and he motivated me, and he proved, I think, that I'm not only a coachable guy, but I can get better
for Carter,
through good coaching. Yeah, because, you know, now you're telling NFL guys, hey, I'm going to come work and do what's necessary. You're right, though. He is going to be asked that question. Hey, real quick, we've been talking about Vita Vea, the kid out of Washington, the defensive tackle, 6'4", 350. Projections have the Bills maybe taking him at 22. If that's the case, do you move up? If you buy into what he does, do you move up? Pac-12 defensive player of the year, you go get him?
Well, here's the thing. This all goes back to, first things first, I got to know what I'm doing free agent-wise with the offensive line. And that also starts with Matt's contract and how much cap space I got. But to your point, you don't have a fifth rounder. It would require generally a fourth rounder, right? A third or a fourth, or definitely a second rounder to move up. So basically, you're going to lose a second rounder potentially to move up to 22. Thomas Dimitroff has moved up. I don't say half his rest, but he's certainly moved up a lot for the Falcons. So it's not out of the realm of the possible. If you believe that this team is loaded, plug in offensive line, we're good. Hooper's going to get better.
Better.
Ricardo Allen's fine at safety. Then all you need is a big hunk of man meat to play defensive tackle. You're ready to rock.
And you're really ready to do that. Also, guys, I don't know if Deron Payne will be there, but I think Deron Payne is the best defensive lineman in this draft. Just watching Alabama all season long, his dominance, how he controls the line of scrimmage. If you're asking me Payne or Vita Vea, I'm going Payne. Okay? That's just me. But I don't know if Deron Payne will be there.
Best guys I got to see in person this year, obviously Roquan Smith. I would go with Deron Payne, and then I would go with Chubb's cousin, Bradley Chubb from NC State.
Yeah.
Those are the three biggest studs I got to see.
No doubt about it. It is our dog report, guys. We go on the sidelines with the dogs each and every day.
It's brought to you by our buddies at Brightbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. For a man cave, guys, for your favorite sports, for all the things you need, home entertainment, home security, home monitoring, they can help you out. And, of course, Electrical Works, 770-901-2500.
Now, as we shift gears from football to basketball, because March Madness is right around the corner, we know the sanctions came down yesterday from the NCAA. They stripped Louisville of their national championship. The interim Louisville president, Greg Postel, continues to talk about where they think this is going to go, how they get back on their feet. He says, though, the NCAA is wrong.
We believe the NCAA is simply wrong. I believe that it was important for the university to have appealed portions of the original decision. We felt that the young men who achieved these victories and the thousands of fans who supported them deserved our best effort.
He goes on to say that the decision has created, you know, a lot of pain within the university.
The pain this decision has created for our fans and our players who were not involved in the events in question is perhaps the most regretful result of this determination.
Now, we had Amy Dash on last hour. Mike, were you interested in, or at least curious at what she had to say about Patino?
Yeah, she says, because Carl's been banging the drum since last week, and at first I thought you were nuts. I love the idea. I just think that he's too toxic about bringing a guy like Patino to Georgia if Mark Fox doesn't do anything here in the tournament, even if he does. And she said that, you know, they still did not prove in the minds of some, and Rick Pitino could say that there was buffers, that there was no direct connection between him and payoffs from Adidas and all the things that were being alleged in the FBI investigation. So if you want to give Rick that benefit of the doubt, but here's the thing. Has Rick earned the benefit of the doubt after all the shady stuff over the years?
I don't know. I mean,
he didn't know they were running some strange women in and out of those dorms. You know what I mean? He's had some lapses of judgment at the bare minimum.
No doubt. And, you know, again, the buck stops with the head coach, right? Or at least it should. And that's why Patino doesn't have a job anymore. You get paid a lot of money to make sure that, you know, you're keeping up with what's happening with your program. But as I've said, whether it's football, all right, you can use Kirby Smart, you can use Mark Fox, pick whoever you want. Mm-hmm. I think it's almost impossible to keep up with these young men this day and age. It was hard to keep up 20 years ago, let alone this day and age, and say you know what every guy in your program is doing. Now, I will say this. If you have a kid that's on drugs or has an alcohol problem, Mike, I'm willing to tell you most head coaches know about that. But if you're telling me kids are running after women and the coach doesn't know and how those women got on campus and what's going on, I can't tell you that. I don't know. But I don't know if he gets the benefit of the doubt. I think that's a conversation, if Patino wants to coach again, with an AD and a school president and a chancellor to sit down and have those conversations. But, guys, this is not a show cause. he could coach again if he wanted to. As Amy Dash said, she just doesn't know who would be willing to roll the dice right now.
Look, I don't expect every coach out there from a football standpoint to be the white shadow. You know, like he's got to know, Ken Russell's got to know everything that's going on with Coolidge and Salami. Who am I forgetting, AT? But in the case of, you know, the Baylor Bears, you know, they kept coming to you with these situations and you kept kind of sticking your head in the sand if you're Art Briles. So eventually you got to pay the piper for that. You could also argue that, you know, it's not a 70 or a 50-man roster. In basketball, you got 15 guys.
And you got assistants to be there to see what's going on.
I used to, full disclosure, I was a huge Rick Pitino fan, you know, growing up in New York. I remember when he was a Knicks coach, you know, when he was really young. I mean, I've always been a fan. I'm no longer a fan. I can't believe anything Rick Pitino is telling me anymore. That's just me.
I would tell you that it is hard and difficult. I can't speak on this. I don't know what Pitino knew and what he didn't know. I just know a lot of times coaches have plausible deniability, that they distance themselves from these things. And I've told you this before because when people always ask me, how does this happen?
Right.
It's simple. Coach, we're going to take some of this money and I don't want to know about it. But, coach, we want to make sure – I don't want to know about it. Kids coming on campus this weekend – you guys have fun. Take care. And the coach distances himself from the events that go on a recruiting visit or whatever it might be. And that's how you go, well, I don't understand. I didn't know. Because you know what? That's what the assistants are there for. And they do a job that, let's be honest, in some cases, many people would call it a fall guy. And, Mike, that's what happened with that kid, the assistant that got fired in Louisville.
Hey, by the way, talking Falcon draft with Mike Mayock coming up here, guys, in about 15 minutes' time. Right now, just talking because on the tail end of the Dog Report about college basketball. Look, I get it. I mean, I understand that you want to pump life into Georgia basketball. I just think, Rick, I mean, the brand is just tarnished right now. And this also goes back to the conversation you and I had in the 2 o'clock hour, just how funky the business of college basketball is. There's just a lot of shadiness to it.
Yeah. To your point, though, and I know Dog fans go back and forth, I just want to win. And that's where I am right now. You're 9 years into a guy that hadn't won enough. When are you going to win? Auburn's winning. Alabama's winning. Their programs are relevant. When is Georgia's basketball program going to win? And so when you ask that question, that's when it opens up the discussion to, all right, we're willing to go get a guy that's worthy and has a brand, and guess what? We're going to pay him what he deserves, whether it's Pitino, which it probably won't be, or someone else.
But here's the thing, and we mentioned this earlier. If you were ready to fire Mark Fox two weeks ago, and right now you are, what, 15-11? So let's just say for argument's sake, you win the last four games, you're 19-11. Let's say you win two games in the SEC tournament. Now you're 21-11 with quality wins. We've talked about those in the SEC. But should that make that decision now? Oh, you know, now he's got this recruiting class, and now we're in the dance. My point is, you're ready to go and ready to throw him out the door 2 weeks ago. Nothing should change that.
Guys, I would tell you for Greg McGarrity, I think he's been here, done this. Everyone was so afraid that Georgia was going to lose Jacob Eason if, in fact, Mark Richt was fired.
Great point.
And they still did it. I don't think that is a reason to hold back from firing your head basketball coach either. And, by the way, Eason still came. Now, we know how that played out. But you remember those conversations, Mike, every day. Oh, we'll lose Eason. Oh, you can't do it. He's got this great recruiting class. Fired.
You're right, because there's too many fans in this country, and especially in this town, they're scared. They're always scared of the change. We had all these guys. Remember the shows we had? Well, like back pre Rick, who are you going to bring in? Who are you going to get? Well, in the case of the Mark Fox thing, who does it matter? If you brought in some dude from a mid-major that nobody really knew other than maybe having a pedigree with a big-time coaching program, I don't know. You got to go find Billy Donovan. And oh, guess what? Not everybody can – nobody found Billy Donovan in Florida. You know what I mean? I just wish Oklahoma City was a train wreck and then he was miserable. Maybe he is. I don't know. And but with Georgia, here's the thing. You'd have to throw ridiculous money at a guy like Billy Donovan. So, I mean, then you're left with, as we said, the next up-and-comer, which no Georgia fan's going to know who he is.
Yeah, I just think you've got to have some name recognition. That's what I'm saying. And for those guys at cost, maybe you're going to pull a guy, Mike, from a high-level, high-end successful program right now. You know, everybody always talks about Wichita State. He's not leaving. Let's move on. That is a situation. Right. Sometimes you get in a situation where it's so good that you don't need to leave. He's making major market money as far as, you know, major program money at Wichita State. And you talk about his program is relevant. They're top 10, top 20 every year. He's not leaving.
Yeah, Greg Marshall's making like millions and millions of dollars in Wichita. So I mean, I would imagine the dollar goes a lot farther out there. So here's the thing. We said, guys, you guys kept saying, you'll never be able to replace Mark Richt. Then they found a guy. And now I'm telling you, I don't know who we're going to get for the Georgia Bulldogs, but I know this. There's no risk in firing Mark Farr because he isn't doing anything.
None. There's none.
Two trips to the big dance in a decade and never get out of the first round. If that's something you feel is irreplaceable, I don't know what you think about competition.
Hit us up, 404-741-0929. Leland, real quick, who's driving around, wants to jump in on our draft conversation with the Dogs and talking about the Falcons. What are you thinking, Leland? Hey, man.
Hey, listen, I tell you, first thing with the with Mark Fox, yes, you've got to get rid of it. I called for Rick to get out of here a long time ago when he went 6-7 versus Central Florida a few years ago in the Music City Bowl. You got to carry the equity that the football team has built,
yes,
playing in a national championship game, get you somebody in there to replace Fox. But then on the with the Falcons, you guys were talking about trading up to get a guy. Will Hernandez, offensive guard, 6'3", 340 pounds. He's going up everybody's chart, 4-year starter out of UTEP.
Yep.
This kid is the guy we need to really get to replace a LaVitre and to solidify that offensive line. And we don't have to trade up and give up any draft picks that we don't already have.
It's a great point, and I will tell you, Hernandez rates, at least right now, we'll see after the combine, behind Isaiah Wynn. You know? When you talk about guards in this particular draft, Will Hernandez is right there. And maybe the Falcons are thinking of that.
He's projected, as you just said, 1-2. They compare him to Richie Incognito. At least they do on NFL Network. But you know what the problem is, Carl? Like me.
Short arms.
T-Rex arms.
Short arms.
T-Rex can't do push-ups, Carl.
Mike Mayock doesn't have short arms. He's got a big brain. He'll share his thoughts on all of these prospects and the upcoming combine next. It is Dukes and Bell, and every year around this time, we look forward to hearing from a guy that we certainly admire his opinion as far as when it comes to these drafts, Mike, the combine, and breaking down all the film that he does. And we get, you know, we kind of laugh every now and then when we hear Mike Mayock talk about certain players and how he describes them. But, man, does this guy know what he's talking about.
Join us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. I think the best. I get all my information from NFL Network. Mike and Daniel Jeremiah and the guys do a fantastic job on the combine as well. Mike, let's start with the Dogs, man. Isaiah Wynn, would he look good in a Falcon uniform as a guard for us?
He actually would. And I thought he played it at a really high level at left tackle this year. Went down to the Senior Bowl. And keep in mind, you guys know how late Georgia played into this season, obviously,
right,
and he was one of the few players that really wanted to come from Georgia or Alabama and come down to the Senior Bowl and compete, and he did a great job at the guard position. He's going to be a late first-round pick, early second-round pick, and I think given where you are with your interior offensive line, he'd be a great fit.
Mike, we just had a caller call in and said, you guys don't know about Will Hernandez. We do. Tell us what you know about him, the kid out of UTEP.
Yeah, he's a great fit for certain offenses. I don't think in Atlanta, though. I mean, he's 330-plus pounds. He reminds me a lot of Richie Incognito,
right,
when he came out. He's nasty. He finishes blocks. He's got an edge to him. He's powerful. He's tough. He's got better feet than you think. But in Atlanta, what they really want with their offensive lineman is ability to run. You know, it's a heavy run zone scheme, and you got to run fast in the first quarter, and you got to run fast in the fourth quarter, and that's not who Will Hernandez is.
That's why Wynn might be a better fit for us. Perhaps Mike Mayock with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's flip it to defense. Let's say, Mike, we go free agency to address the line. How good is Vita Vea, and we would have to move up to get him?
Yeah, I think the defensive tackle class is as good as I've seen it in years. There's really good depth. Vita Vea, I believe, is going to be a top-10 pick. And if you go back into combine history, and we all talk about, you know, who ran the 4.22 and what's the fastest 40 in history, I don't really care as much about those guys because they're fast guys run fast. I know they do. What's more intriguing to me are guys like Vita Vea. And at 340 pounds, I'm told he's going to run a sub-5.40. And the last guy and the only guy I know that did it at 340 pounds, sub-5, was on the Falcons right now, and that's Dontari Poe. So Vita Vea is a freak. He's a dancing bear. He'll be gone, I believe, in the top 10. But another guy that fits what you do is Maurice Hurst from the University of Michigan. I think Taven Bryan from Florida is a guy that could be a late first-round pick, and he's a defensive tackle that has some burst and fits what they do. And I think he's got some positional versatility also.
We're talking with NFL Network analyst Mike Mayock. NFL Network provides exclusive live coverage of the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine starting March 2nd through the 5th, starting each day at around 9 a.m. Eastern. How good is Roquan Smith in your mind?
I've got him right now as my second off-the-ball linebacker, and I love the kid. I didn't even know who he was at the beginning of the year when I put on the Notre Dame tape. And I just started laughing. I mean, the kid was sideline to sideline. You guys are familiar with Deion Jones, second-round pick out of LSU, who's what today's NFL off-the-ball linebacker is. And I think Roquan Smith is the next step in that. He's 6'1", 225. He'll come downhill, but it's more all about speed. He hustles to the football everywhere. What bothers me a little bit is he doesn't have a whole lot of ball production in the pass game. No interceptions, a couple of passes broken up over a two-year period. But I think as he learns the NFL game, hopefully with his athletic talent, he'll learn how to deal with the pass game as well.
It is Mike Mayock breaking down the draft. Let's talk more dogs if we can. Where do you think Sony Michel and Nick Chubb go, and who's going to have more upside?
I've got Michel as my number four back and Chubb as my number five back. I thought the running back class a year ago was as good as I ever saw it, and this year it's almost that good. The more I see of Sony Michel, the more I think Alvin Kamara. And I don't say that lightly. I had Alvin Kamara going in the first round to Green Bay a year ago. So I thought Kamara was first-round pick. And Sony Michel, the more film I watch, the more I'm going, wow, he's got burst, acceleration, contact balance, and he's tough. I don't think he catches the football as well, and I don't think he runs routes like Kamara, but that's why the combine – and his pro day are going to be so important to him and where he goes in this draft. And as far as Nick Chubb, Chubb's, I think, a little bit more north-south. He's got a little bit more – I mean, I love the way he runs. He is just a north-south, drop the pad level, and he's tougher than nails. Now, if you put the Alabama tape on, Sony Michel averaged 7 or 8 yards a carry, whereas Chubb struggled a little bit against the best defense in the country. And I think that's because – Michelle got a little more burst, a little more acceleration, but they're both outstanding backs.
I am not buying Josh Allen. Tell me why I should, Mike Mayock.
Yeah, it's you know what's interesting.
Kind of tough, right? Kind of tough.
No, it's not even that. I'm at the point of the year. I haven't met the quarterbacks yet. I don't know much about the kids. I've watched 5 or 6 tapes. So here's what he is. I mean, he's the exact same height and weight as Carson Wentz. He's got a bigger arm, and he's just as athletic. So from the physical side, if you're looking for somebody that's got all the attributes plus more of a Carson Wentz, he's your guy. Now, the flip side of that is that he's only a 56% completion guy. And it seems like about every 4 or 5 throws, something comes out of his hand where you go, what was that? And I think he's got to be rebuilt a little bit from the ground up. I think it's all about his footwork. But we're talking 6'5", 237. He's a great athlete. He's got the biggest arm I've seen in this draft since Jamarcus Russell. And keep in mind, Jamarcus Russell, he never made it.
Yeah. For a number of reasons.
It's not just about arm strength, in other words.
Right. Hey, speaking of which, Mike, there's also mechanical issues. Everyone loves Sam Darnold, but he's got a bit of a hitch to his giddy-up when he throws the ball.
Yeah, I think he's done a better job with that, though. My issue with him is less about the length of his delivery. I think he worked on it a year ago. It got a little bit better. And he knows when to quicken it or hasten it when he has to. He can stand flat-footed and get the ball out. What I'm more concerned about are the turnovers. And I'm talking about fumbles in the pocket, and I'm talking about interceptions in the red zone. And just like the rest of the NFL, I'm trying to figure out what the answer is to that. And because if you can get rid of the turnover issue, I think you've got a high-level NFL quarterback.
This is why we talked to Mike Mayock. He's one of our favorite guys to pick his brain. NFL Combine coming up, guys. And then we've got the draft. Obviously, we're watching what the Falcons are going to do. Do you agree with Bill Polian's assessment about Lamar Jackson at Louisville?
I do not. And I have a ton of respect for Bill and what he's done. But at the end of the day, when I watch Lamar Jackson, I think I see the most electrifying athlete in this draft. And I think he's earned the right to try to play the quarterback position. And I also think the quarterback position in the NFL is morphing a little bit closer to the college thing. If you looked at Deshaun Watson a year ago, I thought Bill O'Brien, the head coach in Houston, did a great job of making Deshaun Watson comfortable with what they asked him to do.
Well, Mike, and when you say the same for Philadelphia and Foles and how that played out,
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Carson Wentz and Nick Foles were two different animals. They have different strengths and weaknesses. The only difference, though, with a Lamar Jackson is that if you draft him, you're going to have to commit a change in philosophy with your entire offense. And I believe somebody will because, trust me, he made people look foolish in the run game in college. He's going to do the same thing in the NFL. And when you remember Michael Vick was the number one overall pick, this kid is just as fast, just as dangerous,
right,
and has just as whippy an arm. And so I'm bullish on this kid getting an opportunity and somebody committing to who he is as a quarterback.
I saw him trash my team, FSU, twice. Mike, I'm with you. Speaking of QBs, Baker Mayfield, no one debates the heart and the Valentine and the skill set. I mean, our team's just going to be going bananas in these interviews trying to push his buttons.
Yeah, they are. And there's going to be a certain subset of teams that look at him and say, that's not the face of our franchise. And there's going to be some other teams that look at him and say, he's a 70% completion guy. He's competitive as hell. All it really is some emotional immaturity, and they're going to talk themselves into putting him on their board somewhere in that first round. So I think the league's going to be split, and I think teams are going to really scrutinize him off the field.
Mike, a couple of things, and then we'll wrap things up with you. Mike Mayock joining us on the WaitForward.com hotline. A guy that's maybe not on the map right now that you're looking at and you're going, this guy's going to be a steal in this draft.
You know what? That's a good one. There's a wide receiver from Colorado State named Michael Gallup who has got – he's about 6'1", 198. I love this tape against Alabama because he wasn't intimidated by Alabama. Matter of fact, I felt like he elevated his game. He's quick. He's tough. When the ball's in his hand, he looks like a running back. So I think he's a guy that I really like watching. And – you know, everybody talks about Penny, the tailback out at San Diego State, and justifiably, he's a hell of a back. But he had a fullback named Nick Bowden, who was an old-school friggin' nail. He just knocks down linebackers and defensive ends. So for a team that's looking for a fullback, and Atlanta might be a team like that,
right,
but a team looking for an old-school fullback, man, this kid's a throwback, and he was fun to watch.
Hey, Mike, Bama fans are asking about Daron Payne. Everybody knows Minka Fitzpatrick's the real deal. How good is Daron Payne going to be?
If you get the Daron Payne in the championship series, well, he's a top 10 pick. Now, sometimes he tended to kind of play down to his competition, but to me, he's going to be a first-round pick. He can play defensive tackle. He can play the five technique, which is a defensive end in the 3-4. He's got some positional versatility. Heck, he could kick outside in the 4-3 and then inside on sub packages. So at the end of the day, because of his movement skills, his ability to be stout against the run and push the pocket, I think he's a surefire first-round pick.
Mike, thanks so much for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. Make sure you check out NFL Network's coverage, guys, of the Scouting Combine, March 2nd through the 5th, starting each day at 9 a.m. Thanks again, Mike. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff.
He is money. Always love to hear that. And if you just caught the tail end of it, you're going, I just missed Mike Mayock. We're going to play it for you at 6:20. And again, high on Isaiah Wynn if you missed the start of the conversation. We'll come back. It's the hottest segment in Atlanta radio.
You're damn right.
And it's Arthur Trish's brainchild. So if it doesn't get ratings, it's all Arthur's fault. Next. Oh.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
Wow. Intro.
Arthur's got an intro.
Hey, wow. You don't mess around here, guys.
I see that.
Oh,
right?
Special time in a young man's life.
This thing has gotten a life of its own.
So let's get started.
All right.
All right, Tom Brady is sort of in the news today. His so-called friends and family Super Bowl ring was sold at an auction on Sunday for a cool $344,927. If you were ever given a championship ring by a player, would you auction it?
Yeah, man.
I didn't earn it.
it's given to me. I might as well make some change on it and do something for myself. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Are you kidding, bro? You know, I wasted like 10 years paying off the IRS. I got to think about my retirement, AT. I'd run. I would run, not walk, to the memorabilia store.
All right, you two bums. Hey, former NFL defensive end Alden Smith. He hasn't played in the league since 2015 as he remains suspended. And according to TMZ, he's looking for a reduction in child support payments since he's out of work. Ooh. Will he ever play in the league again?
Yeah. Now, Mike, help me remember. Wasn't it a bet of guns or something of that nature?
No, that was a different dude. That was Craig Hardy.
Dallas.
That was Hardy.
Oh,
yeah, and
my fault.
Alden Smith was, let me get you out of my party by getting my gat out and throwing some rounds. And then he goes at the LAX airport where it's like, yeah, I got a freaking bomb in my bag. Ah, all hell broke loose. Then there was the alleged drinking and driving, beating up an alleged. He's got a lot of stuff going.
Okay, the answer's no, man.
Simple enough. Yeah. Hey, moving over to college basketball, heading into their home game tonight against Georgia Tech. Number one Virginia has won 16 of 17 games, including a stretch of 15 straight wins. Is there any reason to believe the Yellow Jackets can bring the upset tonight?
As Coach was will tell you, you almost have to hope for food poisoning for Virginia. Listen, this would be a miracle. Georgia Tech's without its starting point guard. They've struggled all season long. They don't get it enough stops. They don't score enough. No, man.
Kyle Guy is the guy. You look at Virginia, there's a lot of, like, sort of some of its parts. Some feel there's enough firepower this year, Carl. They go deep in the tournament. And certainly Tony Bennett's been killing it, so I'm going to say a no man.
All right, guys, moving over to Athens. Mark Fox's team is in Columbia
tonight. Fire him now! Oh, sorry. That wasn't the question.
We have a dead man walking.
Sorry.
Dead
okay.
man walking.
Go ahead.
They're in Columbia tonight to take on the Gamecocks. Georgia's coming off of their first 2-0 SEC week since early January. With USC coming off a big win Saturday against Auburn, will Yante Maton have to score 20 points or more for Georgia to get the win tonight? Remember, he's averaged 19 points a game in his last four outings.
Answer is, Yaman. He's going to score like 30 to beat. Now, again, it's a winnable game, even though, as you said, the Gamecocks feel a little bit better about themselves. They are struggling. I think they're under 500 as well in the SEC, despite what Frank Martin did last year.
You've got the Cocks.
Hey, now.
Yeah, man. He's going to have to score 35, in my opinion.
Oof.
For them to win.
So career night.
All on his shoulders.
And here's the reason why. For those who don't know, he's their only double-digit scorer consistently all year long. There have been guys at 9, 10. When you look at the numbers across the board, if Yante Maton's the best player in the league, which a lot of people think he is, show it. Let's run off four straight and let me see what you have. Put the team on your back. And I think he's got to score a lot to do it tonight. Yeah, man.
Hey, we like Rich Eisen, and next week, I guess, at the Combine, he's going to run yet his latest 40-yard dash. Mm-hmm. But this doesn't have anything to do with that. He revealed on his radio show earlier today that he was told by a Major League Baseball executive that the league is floating the idea of letting the trailing team now bat anyone they want in the ninth inning of games. Is this a good idea or crazy as hell?
No, man. That's a bad idea, okay? I'm very traditional when it comes to my sports. Do not start reinventing
the wheel.
That's not all
you're traditional
about. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is my answer, Carl. You'll have your retort in a second.
I apologize. Go ahead.
I'm very old-fashioned when it comes to an old-fashioned. But anyway, as far as, yeah, come on. Baseball's so worried about it. You got this stupid clock, which nobody's, by the way, adhering to. Mm-hmm. I like some of the ideas that Rob Manfred is tinkering with. This is not one of them. Okay, managers have to manage. You got to keep a guy on your bench called a pinch hitter. Don't give me this Mickey Mouse crap. Carl?
I love this idea. Yeah, man.
What?
Imagine the Nationals being down in the ninth inning, and they get to roll out Bryce Harper in a situation where you could win the game. Why not? This brings more excitement, more drama to the game.
Yeah. And now in NASCAR, we're going to take the car that's 42nd place. We're going to put it in first place on the last lap. Okay? You don't mess with 160-some-odd years of history. Abner Doubleday didn't say, then when the team is down a few runs in the ninth, you'll take our best ball player out. I don't buy it.
I like this idea. I think it's a good idea. I don't know if you can do it. Uh-huh. Where fans would love it enough that it makes sense to Mike's point. But I just think it adds more drama. I'm going to say yeah, man.
Okay, interesting perspectives there. Moving over to the NBA, Philly's Joel Embiid says he won't stop shooting his shot at Rihanna. By the way, she turned 30 yesterday. Will they ever get together?
No, man. He's a buster, man. I mean, you'd be glad you're tall, man. Your game is like negative 10.
He's going to fire a tweet off on you.
Yeah, whatever.
I just watched the Chris Rock special on Netflix, and Chris Rock said he was at a party, and he took his shot at Rihanna, and then he realized how old he was. Bottom line is, and I'm not mad at MB, you know what? When you see something you want, you go get it. So, yeah, man, I think at some point she may pay him some attention, but I don't know how far it will go. I'm not going to tell you they'll get married.
By the way, that Chris Rock special is very good. If you happen to have a chance to watch it on Netflix, take a listen.
Funny, but not as funny as Chappelle's, right?
Correct. I will agree with that.
That's how I felt.
Yeah. Final question today. You won't believe this one. A woman was seen drying her underwear. Remember, drying her underwear on an air vent during a recent Turkey flight to Moscow. Would you cause the scene? And there's a photo of this on Twitter, so please check it out.
Arthur has got it up there now. For those, you got the vents that are right above you when you're sitting in the airplane. She's got her panties off, and she's holding them under the vent for like 10 minutes, Arthur? 20
so,
minutes?
I don't know how long it was, but would you have caused a scene if you noticed anyone doing this on a flight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Unless it smelled like pumpkin pie, Carl, I'm going to call the flight attendant.
Well, you know, I tweeted out this morning, and I know many of you might have seen this already, that a flight had to make an emergency landing after a guy wouldn't stop farting on a flight overseas.
Right.
And guys are like, really, emergency landing? Yes. At some point, you got to stop the farting.
Man, I can't believe David Pollack did that.
So if you're asking me about this woman drying her underwear on an air vent during a flight, yeah, man. We're going to have a conversation.
Yes.
But remember, it's Eastern Europe we're talking about. They play by
I don't care where it is.
Dude, you ever, I flew Copa Airlines once in Costa Rica. There was a chicken in the overhead, man. It's a different set of rules. You get outside the Atados Unidos.
Look, body odor is one thing. Shorting your underwear like that, I draw the line.
Nobody wants to see that.
No, nuh-uh.
Or smell it.
Oh, no. Knowing our listeners, there's somebody out there that would definitely want to be downwind of that.
Nice job,
AT. That's a wrap on today's Yeah Man, No Man.
All right, man. We will get back to some Falcon conversation. Who does that? I'm just going to take these off and dry them.
A woman flying to Moldova. That's who does that.
All right. Hey, Falcon Report's coming up. Also, we're going to talk more. We'll let you hear from Rich Eisen, who explains that crazy potential MLB rule. I know some of you are going, what? We'll let you hear that at 420. We'll throw it around some more. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.